Good evening. It's going to be a little bit different lesson than what you might expect. It's funny that when Logan sang that last song, I was thinking of the faith, those heroes of faith that we look at in the Old Testament and in the New, and how we think of them. We think of them as some sort of superhuman being. They weren't. They were just like you and me. They were men. They were women. You think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ruth, Rebecca, all of those famous people that we read about each week as we study, and we think of them as being better than us. The fact is that they're humans just like us. They're open to the same kinds of temptations, and they're open to the same kinds of foibles that we have. And yet, somehow or another, the Lord used them to bring about His purposes. Tonight we're going to look a little bit at other people who have done the same thing in this modern age. Now, I don't pretend to sing the praises of the people that we're going to be talking about, because that's not the object. The object of the lesson is to know a little bit about the background of some of the songs that we have in our book. Now, there are 702 songs in this book, and there are a number that aren't in this book that I'm sure all of you have sung over the years. And every one of those songs has a story behind it, every single one of them. And have you ever been singing a song and had it touch your heart to the point where you say, I wonder what the person was thinking when they wrote these words? I wonder what kind of person this person was that could write such beautiful words or write such beautiful music. Perhaps you haven't thought about that. But tonight we're going to look at seven songs that are in the book. We're going to look at the background for those seven songs. And we're going to sing those seven songs, because I'd much rather sing than preach. So we're singing. But I think you'll find it quite interesting. I think you'll find that the people in these particular situations were no different than you and me, and yet the Lord, through His providence, was able to use them to affect generation after generation as they sang these songs. There are a lot of stories about hymns that Christians have put together over the years. A young man by the name of Grant Tuller was at a lectureship. And after the lectureship, they all went over to the preacher's house, and the preacher was serving, the preacher's wife, I should say, was serving some crackers and mint jelly and that sort of thing. And she knew that Grant was a particular lover of mint jelly. However, when the jar got to him, there was just a little bit left. And he said, oh, is this all for me? And when he said it, in his mind, immediately, a tune came. Now, you have to, I don't know how this works, because my mind doesn't work that way. But for people who create music, who create tunes, it comes into their head, they say. So this came into his head, and he was thinking about the words of a song that he had known before. All for me the Savior suffered. All for me He bled and died. And so he tried to put those words to this song, this melody that was in his head, and it didn't work. It just didn't work. But he couldn't get this melody out of his head. So that night after the meeting, he went home and this melody was in his head. And the next day, he received a letter from a person that he had been writing to, Carrie Beck. Carrie Beck was the mother of seven children. And she wrote poetry because she couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. She had no idea. She was tone deaf. She had no idea how to sing. And when she did sing, most people told her not to sing. That's how bad it was. However, she wrote beautiful poetry. And she wrote this poem to him, and she said, could you put this to music? And as he said, it was amazing because the very tune that he had fit that song so beautifully. So here you have a jar of jelly and a woman who can't carry a tune in a bucket, and through the providence of God, a song is created that people have been singing for years. Turn your books to 399. 399. I've been singing this song all my life, and I find it fascinating to know how this song was created. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with a darkening veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when His glory shall be seen. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Frances Van Alstyne. What a name. She was an American rescue mission worker. She was a poet, a lyricist, and a composer. She became a household name in this country. When she was an infant, she became blind. She contracted scarlet fever and was blinded, and from the age of 6 months could not see. And at the age of 8, she wrote her first poem. And she once said, "It seemed intended by the providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank Him for that. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I probably would not accept it, because I might not have been able to put together all of the praise of God, because I would have been distracted by what I saw around me." Best known for her Christian hymns and gospel songs, she's written over 8,000. In this book alone, we have over 76. We have 76 songs in this book that were written by Frances Van Alstyne. Now, most of you probably know her by her maiden name, which is Crosby. She wrote under several different names, but she's best known because they called her Fanny, Fanny Crosby. And most of you probably have been singing those songs all of your life, written by a blind poet. Probably her most famous is Blessed Assurance. Let's sing that now together. Blessed Assurance, number 4. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Horatio Spafford, what a name that is. Horatio came out of the Civil War, moved to Chicago, Illinois, and became a real estate developer. He married and had 5 children. And in 1870, their only son contracted pneumonia and passed away. And if that were not enough, the Spaffords, who had invested heavily in real estate, lost everything they had in the Great Chicago Fire. So now you have a man and his wife who have been to the top in terms of finances and now have lost everything, including their only son. And 2 years later, in 1873, Spafford decided to take his family to Europe on holiday to get them away from what was left of their profession, what was left of their nest egg, if you will. And just at the last moment, on boarding the ship, he was told he had to wait to make a deal on a real estate prospect, and was not allowed to get on the ship with his wife and his 4 daughters. His daughters were 11, 9, 5, and 2. And so the wife and the 4 daughters went off to England, and Horatio was going to join them. And on November 22nd, 1873, while crossing the Atlantic, the steamship that they were on struck another vessel and sank in 10 minutes. 226 people lost their lives, including all four of Spafford's daughters. His wife sent him a telegram from England as soon as she was able to get there, and the only two words on the telegram were "saved alone." So he immediately sailed to England, and as he was crossing the very spot where the ship went down, the captain of the ship came and told him, this is where the ship went down. And he penned the words to "It is well with my soul." 626. 626. Now, when I sing this song, I find it very difficult not to think of this story. "It is well with my soul." To lose your entire family and still be able to sing this song is an amazing thing. Let's sing it together. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend.
Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
When Monica Dandridge gave birth to her son Philip in 1704, it was her 20th pregnancy. 18 of those children had died, were stillborn when they were born. And of those children, Philip was delivered, and he also appeared to be stillborn. The midwife set him aside to attend to the mother, and after about 10 minutes, Philip cried out. And at that moment, Monica determined that her young son Philip's life was saved for a purpose. And she spent the next few years doing her best to teach her son the scripture. At a young age, his mother passed away. And except for his meager existence, he had no formal training. Friends encouraged him to give up, take a menial task, but he dreamed of preaching the gospel. And without money or without friends, he had decided to follow that dream. He worked hard to achieve his dream, and he became a preacher. And he wrote more than 50 hymns, including the very popular O Happy Day, 428. 428.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, this is glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture all abroad. Happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away, He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transition's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Russell Carter was a star athlete at the nation's military academy. He was an excellent student academically, who went on to be a successful teacher and coach, and then spent several years as a minister. He spent the last professional years of his life as a doctor. He went on and got his medical degree. Very smart individual. However, just after graduating from the military academy, he had been a professed Christian all of his life, but had never practiced. And it wasn't until a crisis in his own life that he began to understand the reality and the power of the Bible and of the promises that are in that Bible. At age 30, his health was in critical condition. He had an infection around his heart, which refused to heal. The physicians could do no more for him and basically sent him home to die. He made a promise that, healing or not, his life was finally and forever consecrated to the service of the Lord. It was from that moment, from that written word of God, that the promises of God became real to him, and he began to stand upon those promises, determining to believe that no matter what his physical condition, no matter how he felt, he was going to rely on God. And from that promise that he made, he created a song that has stood for nearly 50 years as one of the best songs in the Brotherhood, Standing on the Promises, number 36. 36. I'm sorry, I said 30. What's standing on the promise? I wrote the 360. I'm sorry. I wrote 36. I forgot to put the zero down. 360. Thank you.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Most of you know the song, Amazing Grace. 205 is it, the song that's in the book. We're going to be singing it in a minute. Many of you may have seen the movie that came out about Amazing Grace. I don't know whether you have or not. But one of the things that the movie doesn't talk about is the author, John Newton, was not a follower of God initially. He grew up without any particular religious conviction, and his path was formed by a variety of circumstances that made him insubordinate, recalcitrant. In fact, he wasn't well liked. He was pressed into service. Now, back in the 1800s, in England, if you happen to be walking around the street and you look like a healthy person, they could come by and press you into service to serve on a ship. So he was pressed into service. He was forced involuntarily to serve with the Royal Navy. And leaving the service, eventually he got involved in the Atlantic slave trade. He was a slave ship crewman. That was in 1748. Coming back from having deposited slaves in this country, they were on their way back to England and they were in a terrible storm. A terrible storm. The storm was so violent that the crew was calling out to God for mercy. And it was at that time that he said, "I was converted. I didn't know what it was all about, but I knew that God was watching over me." He was aboard the slave ship Greyhound, and he had become noted for his profane language. The captain had actually put him in irons for cursing him one time. And when the Greyhound was in the North Atlantic on that violent storm, many had been swept overboard, and only 9 of the crew were left. And he, along with those 9, made it back to the transom where, the wheel of the ship to steer it. And they steered it for 12 days. They had no food, very little water for 12 days until finally they ran aground on the Irish coast. And from that point on, this conversion that he had caused him to seek out men of faith. And from there, about 2 weeks later, he wrote these words, "That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." I can think of nothing better than for us to sing that song, 205.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Charlotte Elliott, in the first years of her life in Chatham, England, was an invalid and was often in great pain and suffering through those years. In fact, the last 50 years of her life, she spent in a wheelchair. Charlotte was confined to her home and unable to attend church services, and she professed at being a Christian her entire life. At 46 years old, an elderly man approached her at a dinner party, a preacher of the gospel, and asked her if she was a Christian. Now, she had professed to be a Christian her entire life, so this question came to her almost rudely. In fact, she considered that person to be very rude and unkind, and his question was very inappropriate, and she said so, because she had been reared in a Christian home. After the man walked away, Charlotte could not get his question out of her mind. And so she went to find the man, and she asked him, "How do I become a Christian?" And that very night, she confessed Jesus Christ as her Lord and was baptized to rise in newness of life. And afterward, she wrote, "Just As I Am," a testimony to her newfound faith and also a tribute to the man who told her that she could come to Christ just as she was. A cripple, a person who had been perhaps looked down upon her entire life, and yet there she was, a child of God. Now, we're going to use Just As I Am, 330, as our invitation hymn. If you'll turn there. 330. But this particular instance causes me to think about what it means to say just as I am. All of us are sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have made mistakes. And sometimes there are many of us who might say, "I'm not sure God wants me. I've done too many things wrong. I'm not sure that the Lord can take away the sins that I've got." And yet, this woman who had professed to be a Christian all her life, in a wheelchair, was her mind was pricked by the fact that someone had asked her, "Are you a Christian? And let me tell you how to become one." She had never been told that before. And it was through that mind-yielding experience that she was able to say, "I can come to Jesus just as I am, no matter what my condition is, physically, emotionally, mentally. I can come to Jesus just as I am." As we sing this song, let us contemplate the fact that if there's anyone here who needs the Lord, anyone who can understand that the Lord loves you and that He's wanting you to come to Him, please feel free to do so as we stand and sing.
Just as I